If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Tremendous credit to Jake Gutierrez for that outstanding postseason intro. Also, big credit to Nate Bucati for realizing that it's snowing halfway through the show. As I said, can't put nothing past my co-host for long.
I'm like a good hockey goalkeeper. You can't get nothing past me.
Right.
Yes.
Just for a while. Yeah. But you eventually catch on, no matter what.
Sometimes. So mostly.
Thank you very much for joining us. It's a postseason Red Friday, January 15th, 2021. Let's talk to former Chiefs wide receiver Mark Boerichter. What's up, Mark Boerichter? How are you?
I'm doing excellent, fellas. How are you guys doing on this snowy Friday morning?
Fired up. Let's go. Let's get this done. Let's get to Sunday so I can watch the Chiefs and the Browns in the playoffs. Let's get to the Chiefs. And let's get back. We talked about this more in the 6 o'clock hour, but let's get back to the injury report. And as we start to figure out who will and who will not be available. And the two that obviously jump out, look, love to have Willie Gay, but looks like he's not going to play. Rashad Fenton's a limited participant, so he's headed in the right direction. But Sammy Watkins and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Watkins didn't practice Wednesday or Thursday with his calf injury. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was a limited participant Wednesday and didn't practice Thursday. So tell me the importance of those two developments for the offense between Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Sammy Watkins.
Well, I think it doesn't look good just when you look at the injury report right now based on the participation from the previous 2 days, right? Now, we don't have – I think the Chiefs actually got out on Tuesday and did some things. We don't have any report as to really what all they went through on Tuesday. But today is the big day. To really look at the participation level in practice. Andy Reid's history here in Kansas City specifically, when you go back and look at it, if guys have not practiced or been limited on Wednesday and Thursday and then have some sort of participation, even limited participation on Friday, they might have a chance of playing. You just don't see guys not participate in practice or be limited on a Wednesday like Clyde Edwards-Helaire was, not practice Thursday, and then not practice Friday and play on Sunday. I think Eric Fisher is the only one that really comes to mind a few weeks back that happened. And quite frankly, it's because I think they needed him to go in that game. So it doesn't look promising at this point. You know, every time we've seen Sammy Watkins on the practice report with the DNP designation, he typically does not play. So I'm not expecting those two guys offensively to play, Stephen, based on your question. Then Willie Gay Jr. doesn't look good as well based on his designations this week.
So I would like to get the perspective of Mark Boerichter, the former NFL player, on this one. Were you, if I remember, help my memory on this, you were on the team, were you not, when Eddie Kennison called a bunch of us reporters around him in the locker room before the Broncos and said, we're going to put something on their ass. Were you on the team still when that happened?
I don't really recall that happening, Nate. considering I was standing right next to him when it happened,
okay,
yeah.
Okay. I thought that I remember that. I just remember because I was in the locker room that day and we were all kind of standing around and Eddie Kennison was like, hey, Everybody gather, get all the other reporters because I've got something I want to say. Like, he actually called us all over so he could do that. And I remember then we all went and talked to Dick Vermeil, and he said, well, sometimes players overload their rear ends with their mouth, or other way around, their mouth with their rear ends, you know. And so as a teammate, when you're standing next to a player that does that, like, what's going? Are you thinking to yourself, "Yeah, right on, let's get him"? Or are you thinking, "Hey, man, now we all got to deal with the aftermath of this too"? Like, what's going through your mind as a teammate when something like that happens?
I think it depends on who it comes from, Nate. I really do. You know, there's guys that that talk all the time, and you just kind of brush aside what, you know, what they're saying over time because they just talk all the time on things. You know, just to reference back to when Eddie did it, I didn't have a problem with it at all. That was more a personal thing between Eddie and the Broncos organization, of course, you know, back from his time in Denver and how it was portrayed, with him, you know, supposedly leaving the team the day before a game and all those types of things. And when really the reality of the situation was a lot different from a personal nature with Eddie on that whole deal. And I'm not going to get into that story. A lot of people know that the actual truth of what happened there. But I think it's a situation. It doesn't matter. I think at this point, when you start looking at the playoffs and everything, everybody knows what you're playing for at this point. And I don't buy into, as a former player, a lot of times, a lot of the bulletin board material. Unless you've just got another team that just continues to talk and disrespect you or feel disrespected as a team, you know, in a lot of ways, then there may be a little bit to it, but I don't buy into a ton of it with when a player talks and puts some bulletin board material out there. In a sense, I just don't. I think these guys are professionals. I don't think it really makes that much of a difference.
Mark Boerichter is our guest. Okay, Mark. Considering his tremendous production in the 5 playoff games that he's played in since joining the Chiefs, how concerned should we be if Sammy Watkins is unable to play in this playoff game, because his best games, his best production, save for a couple of games, that opening game he had last year, remember when he went wild with 190 plus yards, but the majority of his really good games have happened in the postseason. How big of a factor will that be if he can't go?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty significant factor, Stephen. I think, you know, we've talked about this before, and everybody else I think has talked about it. When you look at Sammy Watkins and what he means to this offense, sometimes it's not about the production that he puts up. It's about being an influence on the field defensively, or to the defense, that is, and adding another weapon in that can get the job done underneath, or when you need to make a play, when guys are double covered or they're rolling coverages to Kelce and Tyreek Hill, a guy that can win one-on-one battles on the opposite side. And that's the part to me that's a little concerning, that if he's not able to go, which, again, it doesn't look like he's going to at the point today, will be the determining factor of that. But I think it's a significant factor in this offense because, you know, obviously Byron Pringle had a big game 2 weeks ago, stepping in a backup role and the ability to play a lot with some starters out. But DeMarcus Robinson and Mecole Hardman have not been consistent enough, right, in terms of catching the football and being in the right spots when they're supposed to be there, to have the confidence over what Sammy Watkins brings to the offense. So if he's not able to play, those other two guys I just mentioned, and maybe even a Byron Pringle, you know, will have to step up and play well, because I think it is significant if he doesn't play in this game.
Let's dive a little more deeply into the lack of consistency with Hardman and Robinson. It seems like their issues are a little different, right? Does it seem to you as if Mahomes trusts Robinson in terms of where he's going to be, but is he going to hold on to the ball? And with Hardman, does Mahomes trust where he's going to be at all times?
Yeah, I think with Hardman, Mecole Hardman's been a good player for this team, okay? Has he lived up to his second-round pick at this point? Maybe not. Okay, we could argue that, you know, as we look at it. But he's been a good player for this team. I think the biggest issue with him has been his decision-making on special teams from time to time in terms of returns. But with Mecole, I think it is a little bit of being on the same page with Patrick Mahomes and understanding that and doing what he needs to do to be on the same page with Patrick Mahomes. And then in DeMarcus Robinson's case, I like both these guys as players. I really do. I think they both have great ability. DeMarcus's case seems to me of like just situational awareness, okay, on the mm-hmm. football field, and understanding that, you know, there are times you have to understand as a player who you are as a player, right? And you all want to make the big play, and every guy is guilty of this. If you play a playmaking position, you know, from receiver to running back, is trying to do too much instead of just doing what your job is. And I don't want to use the adage of just do your job, but understanding the situational awareness on the football field with where you are, down and distance, the time on the clock, you know, how many timeouts you have, just understanding those pieces. So when you catch the football, instead of trying to juke three guys and run backwards 5 yards, you know, just stick your head down and get up the 2 or 3 yards and pick up the first down and move the sticks and go forward. I think that's DeMarcus's big thing. I think he's gotten into this piece of, you know, he's got big playability. We've seen it from him, okay? But you're not Tyreek Hill, okay? You're not as fast as Mecole Hardman, but you're still a really darn good football player. Just do what your strengths are. And I think a lot of times guys all want to get into the party, right? This is a fun offense to play for all these guys. There's the ability to make plays every single time they have the football. And I think in a lot of cases they try to do too much, you know, with the ball in their hands as opposed to just making, I don't want to call it the easy play, but just make the play.
Mark Boerichter is our guest. Mark, a lot of people like to talk about or talked about the Chiefs with the bye week and what they should do week 17, and it seemed like so many people focused on the negative. Well, they could get rusty, this, that, and everything else, but let's focus right now on the positive. You have the Chiefs that are going to be extremely well-rested going up against a Browns team that played Sunday night in what had to be an exhausting game emotionally and physically against the Steelers, and then their offensive line, which is one of the main strengths of their team, gets banged up, where their center, J.C. Treader, and one of their guards, Wyatt Teller, a limited participant in practice yesterday. Jack Conklin, their excellent tackle, did not practice. He's battling the hamstring and the injury that knocked him out of the Steelers game. And you're home. You don't have to deal with traveling, whatever. That's all a real big advantage. As a former player, can you tell us about that? Because I think sometimes we just take it for granted because the Chiefs have had this opportunity the past couple of years. But being at home, getting that extra week of rest, and facing a team that really got banged up on Sunday night against the Steelers.
Well, and I think, Stephen, too, it's not just about for the Browns, not just last week. It was the week before that, right? Their last regular season game against the Steelers. And I know the Steelers rested some of their guys in that game. But the Browns have really been in a playoff scenario the last, you know, 6-7 weeks, right, in terms of having to make the playoffs and the grind. And it takes a lot of energy to do that. Okay? It takes a lot of energy to do that. The Chiefs are sitting in a good spot right now. I know there's always the argument of rest versus rust and everything else with that. But being able to, number one, in a year where the NFL expanded the playoffs and there's only one bye, and you've got the ability and have got that bye, you've earned that right. You've earned that reward for an extra week of rest. It allows you to sit back, do some self-evaluation, late self-scouting on your team and on yourself. And then it also allows you to sit back and look at the potential opponents you're going to play. And, you know, you talked, Stephen, about the Browns' offensive line being banged up. You know, the one area over the last few weeks of the season that's been really banged up for the Chiefs has been their offensive line as well, right, with Mike Remmers being out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been the one position group all year that's really had injury issues for the Chiefs, let's be real. But, you know, Eric Fisher wasn't healthy coming down the stretch. He's no longer even on the injury report. Remmers is still on there, but he's getting back and healthy. It just allows you the opportunity to get some guys some additional rest and heal up. Sometimes it's just those little nicks and bruises that you get hit on again in a game and kind of re-aggravate something. It allows you that opportunity to get better and be fresh going into the playoffs. And, again, the playoffs are a completely different animal. And I've had the fortune to only play in one of those in the National Football League. We played in the playoffs in the Canadian Football League, and it's a different pace of a game. The energy is ramped up. The intensity is ramped up. The game seems to speed up a little bit more because everybody knows what's on the line. And the healthier you are, the more rested you are, and the more mentally fresh you are going into that, the better off you're going to be.
All right, so you talked about that offensive line and the fact that it's been banged up so far this year. How do the Chiefs account for Myles Garrett in this game, in your mind?
I don't want to say you don't, okay, but I think it's it's a situation that, you know, you try to get your tackle some help a little bit with some chips, you know, maybe from your running back. I think the big thing is you get the ball out of your hands fast if you're Patrick Mahomes. You know, you don't put yourself in third and long situations, second and long situations. You put yourself in a situation where you're dictating the pace of the game, you're dictating the play calls based on the situations, and you're controlling the pass rush that way with Myles Garrett. I think you can also run the football directly at him. It's one way to slow down defensive ends that like to get up the field, because and Myles Garrett's a really good all-around player, don't get me wrong, right? So when I say run the football at him, he's good at setting the edge, things like that, but you can negate the pass rush a little bit and help your tackles out that way. And then I think the screen game of the Kansas City Chiefs comes into play huge. You know, that's one area that to me, late in the season, the Chiefs did not run as well as been some of their screens to the running backs. And they went away from some of it as well in terms of frequency. And I think those are also ways that they can slow them down. But again, I'd say you don't account for him. You have to account for him, but I think you understand the level of player he is and the chance that he's probably going to get to Patrick Mahomes at some time on Sunday. But you just got to try to slow that down as much as you can.
And you mentioned maybe the running backs helping out. That's the one area where Le'Veon Bell and Darrell Williams have an advantage over Clyde Edwards-Helaire, right? Pass pro.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's the veteran status and understanding that piece, right, over CEH. Not that CEH didn't understand it or hadn't throughout the course of the year before he got hurt, but it's just, again, this is the other unique piece, Steven. You just brought this up with those two veteran running backs. Darrell Williams has been in the playoffs before. Le'Veon Bell, we all know, has played in the playoffs before. There's a lot of playoff experience in that backfield in terms of understanding what that looks like. And I know Clyde Edwards-Helaire played in the national championship game, you know, in college. It's still a different animal when you get to the National Football League. So if he does play, you know, that intensity is wrapped up, and you got ramped up, but you've got some guys back there in Darrell Williams and Le'Veon Bell that have experience and certainly know how to pick up pass pro for sure.
We have Mark Boerichter, former Chiefs wide receiver, on the line. All right, before we nail down your official prediction for the Chiefs and the Browns, what do you think happens Sunday or Saturday night between the Bills and the Ravens?
Ooh, that's a good question. It's a really good question. I like the Bills. I just think that, you know, Lamar Jackson was good, you know, against Tennessee. The majority of that was on the ground, right, where he did most of his damage, which is what makes him such a dynamic player in this league, and his ability to make big plays on the ground. That's a huge piece. But I just think Buffalo's playing too well right now. They're healthy. They've gotten healthy as the end of the year's gone along. Josh Allen's playing about as well, if not the best football of any quarterback in the National Football League right now, with a high level of confidence. And he won his first playoff game a week ago. And we can talk all day about what the Colts did to lose that game. But when Josh Allen needed to play well, he did. And I just think Buffalo's rolling right now. It almost kind of seems like one of those years of destiny for the Bills, at least to make it to the AFC Championship game, and hopefully Kansas City is standing in their way of going to the Super Bowl at that point. But I really like the Bills. I like their roster top to bottom. I like their weapons on offense. And I think they've got a lot of good things going. And I don't think Baltimore has the weapons overall or the consistency to knock off the Bills.
Mark Boerichter has been our guest. All right, Mark, what's the score going to be on Sunday at Arrowhead Stadium?
Ooh, I'm going to take the Chiefs 34-28.
That's over.
I don't really think it's going to be kind of that close. I think that the only way the Browns really have a chance in this game, and not that they don't have a chance, but Baker Mayfield's got to play one of the best games he's played, and I know lots been made of the Cleveland running game. With Kareem Hunt it's not enough against this team, and it's the Chiefs are too dangerous and can strike too quickly, and I like the matchups receiver and tight end wise against the for the Chiefs against the secondary of the Browns. And the other factor here, defensively for the Chiefs, this is a game I think you need to keep an eye on Chris Jones and Frank Clark, because the Browns' offensive line is extremely banged up. If they can't get to the quarterback this week, even in a win, then we really need to start worrying about this Chiefs defense. But I think this is a week where their pass rush can get on track and take advantage of what's out there and try to rattle Baker Mayfield a little bit into making some mistakes.
The Browns are a bad matchup for Kelce, and also Kelce's going up against his hometown team. Jake, you're looking for a prop bet. Whatever the over-under is for Kelce yards, take the over and be happy about it and start counting your money. You got me, Pounders?
I'm looking right now, brother. I think Bo Richter might be right about it. Like, I could see this game not being really close, and then at the end, like, the Browns get like a backdoor cover.
That's exactly where I'm going with it. I think Baker could throw a couple touchdowns down the stretch in the fourth quarter to make it look interesting.
And then, you know, you give the Chiefs the ball back with about 4 or 5 minutes, and they run it out. But they've been up 2 touchdowns the whole game or something like that. And then I could totally see that. I'm kind of scared of that 10 number only for that reason. I don't think this game's going to be close, but just how the Bills operate, you could see, like, some slide-in backdoor cover.
Go Kelce over.
Mm-hmm.
You're scared of the 10. All right, that's all I'm telling you. Mark Boerichter, thank you very much for the time, my man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, sounds good, fellas.
Mark Boerichter says Chiefs are going to win. Although Jake is nervous about the point spread, don't be nervous. Come on. You got this.
It's a concern slightly.
Well, I'm concerned that not enough people have Mahomes Magic Crunch in Kansas City. So can I please give another box away?
Well, I would say yes. We got one box left to give away.
Right. Listen up, Chiefs Kingdom. It's time to get ready for all the big games. And you could start the day off right, well, every day, by picking up the limited edition Patrick Mahomes cereal, Mahomes Magic Crunch. Then feed your hungry team with a perfect party tray, burgers, brats, wings, and ready-to-bake pizza. And if there's no time to prepare, let Hy-Vee quarterback your party with full-service catering, home delivery, and setup. Elevate your home gate at Hy-Vee, the official grocery sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. And I volunteer, if they want me to be the official taste tester of their delicious buffalo chicken dip that they make at Hy-Vee, if you want to deliver like a big barrel of it to me, every time you're thinking about making a new batch, I'll taste it and give it the thumbs up. You can put SSJ approved. How's that sound? See what I'm willing to do for wonderful clients?
You are a kind-hearted man, Stephen.
Right.
Like,
well, I know that.
What a giver you are.
I'll do
altruistic.
It for you, Ivy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what else? The other thing I'll do for you right now, if you're listening, caller number. Now, I picked a number. Jake picked a number. Nate picked a number, so let's go back to Nate. What number caller will receive a box of Mahomes Magic Crunch and a $25 gift card to Hy-Vee?
How are you doing? How are y'all doing?
What
caller number 6, because 1 + 5
Why?
Is 6.
And Patrick
Mahomes
good.
Is number 1-5.
I like that.
I like that a lot.
Very acceptable.
Yeah,
that's a good
well
one.
Done, Nate.
Caller
bam,
number 6.
Bam, bam.
913-3810-810. 913-3810-810. Caller number 6 gets a box of Mahomes Magic Crunch and a $25 gift card to Hy-Vee. Thank you to Hy-Vee for making this possible, and thank you for listening. We'll be back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
How are you doing? How are y'all doing?